Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're checking the connections. We are live. We are live on Instagram. We are live on YouTube. Facebook is just constantly do not want me to go live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lawyer Henderson Show, a special addition to our channel. Basically, my homegirls want me to talk about black male-female relationships today under global white supremacy, and I basically will do that. Now, y'all need to go and tell Facebook they need to let me back in because I felt like I got banned or somebody hacked my account for the reason, a lot of reasons that, you know, spitting the truth, you know, speaking truth to power, and that happens, But today we're going to be talking about black female relationships under global white supremacy. And of course, you already know that that's going to be the topic. And we're also taking your calls at 516-418-5867. If you want to call in, I don't push your arm in to talk about, you know, anything, you know, but we have gotten a significant amount of great audience that have been calling since I've been on the air. This is our, I think, we did like 52nd episode. You did. So that being the case, and that being said, Lawyer Henderson Show. If you want to call in, 516-418-5867, we let people know that we are on Instagram. We let people know that we are on YouTube Live. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube. Don't forget on Instagram. Don't forget to basically tune in and also support. Hit that thumbs up or like like our page, Instagram, like that thumbs up button on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. I see you on Instagram. I see all of y'all. What's up? Today we're talking about black male-female relationships under global white supremacy. And I hope to do you justice here today because this is a subject matter that a lot of, it's always females who ask to do relationship podcasts. And, okay. All right. I'll be the main one messing up the relationships. Okay. We'll go ahead and do it. we're still looking in the situation of, you know, this controversy over Ice Cube and D.L. Hughley and everybody who basically is coming out and they are upset with Ice Cube because of his contract with Black America. And, you know, it's a lot of craziness going on, but we're going to try to do a podcast on that as well. Again, some, you know, probably next week or sometime with down the line, of course. You can also find a reversion of this or us basically, if you go to Blog Talk Radio / Cinema City Pictures, After you wait about 30 minutes, 15 or 30 minutes after the show, you'll get to hear the show again. So a lot of my audience be like, yeah, I want to hear this again. I want to hear it again. Because, you know, Lawyer Henderson comes with the, he comes with all of the game. He comes, all the game that he spits, you know what I'm saying, is true. It is true. And so we're on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, that's you know, what's up. That's what's up. We hope that you basically will find some time to join us again. Like I said, or if you're on Facebook or if you're on Instagram or YouTube or Twitter, we did the announcements about our podcast tonight. And I told you the number to call in is 516-418-5867. All right, so we're talking about black male-female relationships under global white supremacy. We're going to try to get into this topic here, and I hope, like I said, I do you justice. And a little bit is going to also have to be, we're going to be discussing also interracial relationships as well and talking a little bit about that as well, because that now is becoming a, that's becoming more of a conversation that is out there in society, especially out in the black community. So I want to start off by saying that black male-female relationships under global white supremacy is a difficult undertaking because you're in a system that basically oppresses us. And one of the things that you have to understand is that the system only gave us jobs, okay? And a lot of us might say, well, you know, I got stocks and bonds, I own commercial property, or I got this and I got that. But still yet, ladies and gentlemen, the system of white supremacy still limited your ability to really be a man in this society. And in order for us to basically really have true relationships in this society is that you have to replace the system of white supremacy with justice. And that's what our brother Millie Fuller talks about. But our ability to love, as you know, that black men and black women, of course, basically have the struggle of getting to, you know, being together, staying in two relationships together, being a couple that, you know, that wants to grow and develop. But we have a system that basically interrupts that ideal. It interrupts that concept. We can start back in the history of when, in the 1960s, when we were segregated. Remember, our marriages were at about 87%. Okay? We were basically segregated. Our marriages were increased at that time at 87%. We then saw in the 70s, 80s, and 90s where our marriages were going downhill, and now was at, and now are currently at around about 42%. Okay, and this is because we got so many things that we thought integration was going to give us. We had certain types of black people during the civil rights movement wanting to fight for interracial access, and talking about we are one, talking about that we should integrate. And they were not talking about setting up an economic system for us and the youngsters. It was more of let me have interracial access to sex. Let me basically go in, do this, and have this type of decision as to who I want to marry, who I want to date. Because remember, it was illegal, okay? And that kind of swayed us in a thinking, now since we have all these options, you know, us staying together is now basically like, hell, we're not going to do that now because look at the options that we have. White people's marriages are around about 70%, so the white man marry his woman a little bit more over than us. And even after divorce, he go and marry another white woman or whatever. Like I said, we're going to be talking, if we have enough time, getting into interracial relationships as well. But our ability to love is the biggest threat to white supremacy. The family that actually stay into the community, a woman and a man, a black man, black woman, a black child walking their dog down the black in that community, that family, that black family, is a threat to European domination, because that is a family that's wanting to grow. And when the family is together, they start to elevate themselves in talking about power, talking about ownership, talking about their ability to move and transform the family on as such. But I want to start off telling you about that before there was any kind of us going out looking for girlfriend or boyfriends, that there was a such thing as courting, in which we did. Specifically, it came from Europe, where our ability to learn about who we was going to get into a relationship with basically was about courting. Like, for instance, you didn't know who you were going to marry until about 2 or 3 weeks before you got into that marriage. Okay, you had to court this person, or the parents will basically will say, you know, this is the woman that you married. I know that some of you all who looked at the movie Coming to America with Eddie Murphy remember, you know, the king was wanting him to find somebody in, you know, in the country, you know, this fictitious country that they were rulers of. But Eddie Murphy's character decided to go to the United States to find a female there. So, but it was in actuality is that the mom, the dad, the king, and the queen said, hey, this is who I want him to marry. This is who I want my son to marry. Okay, so it was not the same thing as we do now, and that is going out on a date or lust up to some woman and purse a female just because she has a big booty or some nice breasts or whatever. It was not like that back in the days, okay? So I want to start off with, because Amos Wilson, our late great Amos Wilson, a psychiatrist, he goes in depth talking about the foundation of how love is. He expresses here in his lectures that we love as men and women is rooted in community functions. Romantic love is not a selfish undertaking, he explains, and should not be conceived as you and your partner. It moves beyond that. In other words, your relationship as a man and a woman is not about you and your partner. It is not, you know, what your partner can do for you and what you can do for your partner, but what is it that your partner and you can do for the community. So in other words, you know, basically relationships basically end in marriages oftentimes because it is always, if you set each other, men and women, in a room and say, well, you know, what's the problem with marriage? Then you're gonna have this confrontation. Oh, men are gonna say you women don't do this, and then women are gonna say you men don't do this, and therefore you have a big argument. That's because that is a relationship that you're undertaking on a selfish kind of love relationship, because you think that your relationships is all about you and your partner, and they're not. What we will learn here in our throughout our commentary, that relationships is often about what you can do for your community, because you're going to also be an influencer in your community. But Amos Wilson talks about that is that the relationship itself is going to influence more people than just you and your partner. It's going to influence a whole community, and consequently the community will concern itself with the call to the nature of love, the so-called nature of love. In other words, your community is concerned with your relationship. Okay, when you have children, your children is not just going to be an island to themselves. They're going to go out and play with other kids. They're going to go out and influence other people. So if you have, for instance, children that grow up to be healthy, that helps the community. However, if you have children that basically is engaged in crime, engaged in all kinds of illegal activity, who's actually basically had the wrong definition of love and the wrong definition of somebody in the community, then that basically can get that person to, you know, terrorize the community, because even the history of knowing about somebody could basically get you to do something to that person. So we have basically learned the wrong way to love, okay? And that love and seeking out love in your relationships is not a selfish undertaking, okay? And so what Amos Wilson says is, like I said, the relationship is going to basically not just be you and your partner. It's going to influence more than just you and your partner. It's going to influence a whole community, and consequently, like I said earlier, concern itself with the so-called nature of love, okay? And you got to understand, listen to that. There's people who do nasty things that are in love relationships. There are people who do evil things that is in relationships, okay? So it's not enough just to just love, okay? One of the reasons that so many marriages are falling apart today is because even on their wedding day, that they are getting married because they say they love each other, because the love of each other, but they're loving each other for the wrong reasons, okay? You basically is asking the question as to why you're getting married. And the first thing you will say is, I love this person. But if you dig deeper into the love relationship, how did you meet this person? Well, you found that person attractive while they were at the store, or they were at the mall, or they were at the club, or what have you. And the ideas of liking that person because they look cute, they look good, they have this, they have all of these types of you know, physical beauties about themselves, but then when you get into the actual relationship, you find that your cuteness and your love affair is not the way that it expresses in the sense of, are you going to grow? Because as Amos teaches us, it's the root of the problems of love, okay? You got to go in. For instance, it is not enough to just have feelings of love and feeling each other, to be caught up into cuteness of a boy, to be caught up into how he is so sweet and how you can't get him out of your mind and how you feel about him and how he touch you and shiver he goes all over your body and all this stuff. That is not enough, okay, in love relationships. You got to ask the question as to what is the root of the love. Is this going to be something of sin? Are you going to be able to come home? You see this body, this thick body and stuff like that. Is he or she really going to come home to something of this every day without having problems? Okay? So it's not enough. That's not enough. You can't base family on the kind of love that you can't base having children. As far as love as well, you're going to find yourself in all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. And this is the reason why black love and black relationships do not last a very long time. We've been given the wrong definition of love. We've been given the definition that, in a sense of reality, that love is sinful. Love is about being, it has to be something about, you know, something about a person's cuteness, like I said earlier, about somebody's facial imagery. Okay, this person is exotic. Notice if you have a lot of people and the first time that you talk to them and you say, well, you know, I am mixed with the Caribbean, and they start getting all these exotic, you know, features about them or where they're from or whatever, and thinking that's going to then promote them into being liked by the person as such. Okay. And so now we have the issue that when you get into inside marriages, you begin to have all kinds of problems. You begin to have all kinds of relationship issues because you've been given the wrong definition of what love is supposed to produce. Okay? And that's the reason why you can't base a family on the type of love relationships that you have. And oftentimes that you see that in marriages, you find that people will get into relationships for all the wrong reasons and basically will get married. And as Millie Fuller taught us about how the women sometimes get caught up into her friends there and all these people looking at the love of their marriage. And you got the pastor there, you got your bridesmaids, and he got his best man here. And the cameras are everywhere. You see, and everybody is excited because these couples are excited, especially the woman, is because all this attention is on you, okay, at that particular time. But then what happens after the fact that all of that goes away and your friends go home, and your family goes back to wherever state they're from, and the camera crew wraps up and the preacher go home, and now you're right here in a relationship by yourself. Now the ability to understand the ideal is, are we basically in love because we like each other's features, or we are basically in love because of we're going to grow and we're going to produce and develop into a healthy Black family that is going to influence the community, influence people as such. You see, a lot of Black people in this country basically leave out their ability to influence their neighbors in love, that in their love relationships. And that has become one of the biggest problems as the failure of our marriages as such. You were talked then about that the unhealthy love relationship, that love growing out of hate and showing out of resentment or growing out of unhealthy situations is a relationship that is bound to end in marriage and divorce. Okay? That's one of the reasons why family attorneys and psychiatrists and relationship experts exist, because you have to take Black people specifically out of their own mind and their own being and then replace them and say, this is the definition of love. And that's not true. Everybody who has a history and a culture identify their relationship with their history and culture. You cannot then adopt somebody else's history and culture and psychology and then throw it up on yourself and then think you're going to have the ability to love another person, specifically a Black person. Okay? So when people give you the wrong definition of yourself, give you the wrong definition of what's going on in society, then you lose your information about what you're supposed to produce in a marriage. Are you supposed to grow as far as building? Are you supposed to develop as a man, as a woman, as such, have children? What are the duties and responsibilities of your love relationships? What is your responsibility in your community? Okay? We have a lot of women out here within our community today who basically get into a relationship with boys who are happens to be grown men, okay? We even have certain these women who will then what? Take these older adult boys, not men, but older adult boys, to the park so they can hang out with their friends, on the street corners with their friends, or over their homeboy's home, or what we call a field trip. He's on a field trip, and basically he is not wanting to engage into what it is to change and transform his community and a behavior of those community. He's basically on the field trip to what? To bring all kinds of issues, all kinds of conflict within his own community. He is there to show that he resents another black person. The resentment comes in that he brings all of that energy into the community where he never be able to grow himself. And therefore, since he is not growing, the manhood within himself to teach other young boys to be men will not grow. And that's the reason why it's dangerous for women to think that they can only just raise a man by themselves. Remember, the men that you're raising right now as women, you basically are supposed to then, in a relationship, teach them how to then grow and be a man. But a lot of women do not have husbands in the home that is going to be able to teach these men to be men. And then yet, you wonder why there's an argument within the black female community about your daughters not having husbands. You must recognize then that wrong information and the misguiding of thinking that you can raise a man. Anybody can feed a child. Anybody can do that. Anybody can give it a roof, can give it a home. Anybody can then send it and go into the educational system where they're constantly miseducated and then basically say, okay, he's grown now. But where is the men who's supposed to basically teach them how to be a man and how to understand manhood? You had, of course, Judge Joe Brown here, along with Tariq Nasheed and the Foundation of Black Americans, where Judge Brown was talking about manhood, okay, and what the definition of manhood is. But Nellie Fuller teaches us under the system of white supremacy is that the black man cannot be a man within a system of discrimination and a system of oppression, that his manhood is often destroyed the minute he tries to be one. That's the reason why you have the white supremacists, the police officers who come into our neighborhoods, and then you have Chief Falk and all these other guys. They're sitting there terrorizing community, shooting and firing at each other, and going and dealing and engaging in all kinds of foolishness and silliness. Okay, and destruction. And here come the white supremacists come into the community, and they say, all right, enough of this foolishness. Now, who started it? And then everybody's like, amen, yeah, who started it? The white supremacists will, you know, will treat you and ask you the same questions like the white female teacher who's misrepresenting you will ask the same thing in preschool or in middle school or in elementary school. Who started it? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? They do the same thing with those men and the hood as such. So in other words, Dr. Umar Johnson is right when he basically says that the white woman in the school and educational system miseducate black kids, and her man then, as he grows up, is now ready to put him in jail and prison as such. Under the system of white supremacy, the European, of course, in this world, makes up only 10% of the world's population. And 90% of us, of course, is basically listening to them as to what manhood is really supposed to be about, which is pretty much unconscionable for a person like myself and others who tries to educate our people. How is it that a 10%, a minority, can tell you what love relationship is supposed to produce? Okay, we got a lot of people who basically out here, like I said, who don't even know the true definition of what love is supposed to produce in a relationship, in a marriage. Okay, a lot of marriages that we are seeing now is becoming, instead of some of us, of course, in the Black community, we recognize that if we just wait a little bit to get married, we find in our 50s and 60s that that might work. In other words, in our youth, in our 20s, in our 30s and 40s, we played around, we had different types of love relationships that didn't work out, and then you say, you know what, we finally try to find someone who basically we can basically commit to, and then we see that that love relationship sometimes works after we have grown and experienced different types of relationships as such. I want to come back to that here because I think that we're going in a little bit too deep and heavy for you, and we have to unpack a lot of things. Madame Noir, which is a Black man on it, but he has a lot of feminists writing these articles that we're going to come and talk to you moreover about why certain types of people want to then experience interracial marriages and dating. But we'll deal with that here in just a moment. But I wanted to talk about why we as Black people are having trouble with love before I get into interracial relationships, because see, we didn't think that the grass is greener on the other side, and we're going to find out in some cases, most cases, not all, but most cases, why interracial relationships, they're saying, is also is at the same equality ask that when we get divorced in a regular relationship with Black people, and white folks, or whoever. We have here Ebony Magazine, which we try to tell women a lot of time, we try to specifically tell Black women that you cannot listen to magazines and relationship experts that is basically sitting behind these desks and think that they're going to give you true positive information about your ability to save marriages. Okay, here is, for instance, Ebony Magazine did a article and it says, Black Love, 5 Tips That Will Transform Your Relationships. Already, that is misleading. Transform your relationships, okay? And in other words, when I read those five points that Ebony Magazine is going to give you, look at that. The first thing that it says, transform your relationship. It didn't even talk about building and growing as far as a couple, people. It didn't talk about ownership. It didn't talk about making major decisions in life. But where is this transformation is going to come from? They argue that there's 5 that could transform your relationships. And this is the reason why we tell women to stay away from relationship magazines here. Okay? They think, of course, that it's somewhat useful. And I'm going to show you how it's not useful. One of the 5 points, I'm going to read all 5 of them, is remember why you fell in love. Okay? Remember why you fell in love. Replace arguments with experiences. Activate the youth in you. Commit to not just your mate, but their evolution. And create a collective vision. Create a collective vision. Okay, let's start with the ideal of number 3. Let's go to activate the youth in you. It says no matter how old we get on how much or oh no it says matter no matter how old we get or how much responsibility we may incur, our youthfulness never goes away. We just lost our way to Never Never Land. A large part of loving relationship is one ability to make their partner feel alive. Work to incorporate a series of mindlessly fun activities in your routine. Your hectic schedule, race and mind, love life with thank you for it. Okay? End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason why a lot of you basically cannot find real love is because your ability to think that you don't need a partner to help you share the responsibility in a relationship. In other words, your boss is going to give you all the hours that they want to give you that you need. And basically you say, well, you know, I can do that because I have not commit myself into a love relationship. Well, I argue that if you look at the relationships where, you know, a woman is working a part-time job and a man is probably working a full-time job, you see how the balance of that relationship worked out. There's also marriages and relationships where there's a stay-at-home mom, okay, and how that worked out for her to just sit home and raise the kids while the father is bringing in the winning, the, you know, getting all the money and the resources and what have you. And of course, you know, in today's age, a lot of women is offended by that. They'll say, well, why can't we work and the guy stay at home? Okay. you can have that argument too. You know, but my point is that you know that one of the couples or one of the persons is at home, okay, and taking care of the responsibility. But the problem is that we both are still working too much that we don't interact as such as well. We don't have enough time to go and meet with the school on how our kids are doing in school. And we sit there telling white folks all of our business about what is going on in a relationship. I'm having to work two jobs or something like that in order to put food on the table because the father is not around. You see? So we're talking about you're going to have a hectic schedule if you're the only parent, okay? But if you basically, if you were a disciplinary problem in your 20s and 30s, as far as not wanting to submit to a man and so that he can say, hey, this is how we're going to do it, this is a plan, and tell your boss that you're not going to be working all of these hours so you can have time to commit in your relationship and then influence your community, which then basically will serve you better than just doing it thinking that you can do bad by yourself. And that's the reason why we haven't heard for a lot of while after the COVID hit of this independent crowd, because we recognize that now that our jobs was taken away from us, that somebody needs to then help us out regardless if we're independent or not. And so now you see a issue then that people are basically is getting to understand what a relationship is supposed to generate. You're supposed to grow constantly in love relationships. It's not about the cuteness and the swag of a man. You got women out here who basically like men because other women like them. Oh, he got swag, girl. My wife, what else do you like about him? Yeah, shoot. Shawty got, you know, he know how to put it down in the bedroom. All right. Okay. But that was one of the things that we had to talk about. But they also go in and talk about this here. I mean, what are the other? I'm sorry, let me do one more point that they make here and their foolish five plans here. It says, commit to not just your mate, but their evolution. When you sign up for a relationship, because unless you are in a arranged marriage, that's what we do. You aren't just committing to a person. You are committing to their evolution. People change over time, and being able to accept one's evolution, and they have in parentheses, If there's a positive one that aligns with your life path, quote, could greatly aid you in fostering a close connection with your mate. By committing to his or her evolution, you are able to genuinely support them in all that they wish to do, end quote. You see, that's fantasy talk. That's fantasy babble. What are you talking about their evolution? That's fantasy babble. You got to understand that it has nothing to do with connecting to your mate specifically, but how you and your mate, what, influence a whole community. The struggles that you have and the struggles that your community have is what keeps a family together and intact. It's what produces a healthy community by producing healthy children. Not talking about somebody's evolution, not talking about what you've done and what that person has done specifically, and to constantly have this argument and trying to feel somebody and talk about one's evolution and then not go into detail as to what you're talking about in this article. This is ignorant, man. This is fantasy talk. Finally, I want to point out the third one point out of these five, because none of them make sense, but I wanted to just talk to you about these. It says that create a collective vision. Mm. When you have a stake in something, whether it to be a project, professional goal, or financial investment, you are more inclined to put your best foot forward. The same thing goes for love. Work with your mate to establish unified goals that will bring you both satisfaction. It will remind you that you are indeed a team and that both halves are valuable to the whole of your relationship. Most time, relationships don't need to be transformed. They just need a little boost. With a big commitment, honesty, and passion, these tips will take you a long way together. That's a waste of time. That defeats the whole purpose of the original article that this woman has written in the Ebony magazine. She started off saying, Black Love, 5 tips that would transform your relationships. And then when she got back to her final response, in her final response, she said what? Most times relationships don't need to be transformed. They just need a little boost. Bit of commitment, honesty, and passion. These tips will take you a long way together. This is foolish talk. This is fantasy babble. What do you mean a little boost based upon commitment, honesty, and passion? Okay? You're supposed to have already had that when you married the person. Okay? And so relationships do get dull. You do get on each other's nerves, okay? Arguments in relationships are very healthy, okay? I don't mean about fighting and physically fighting or whatever. I'm saying arguments, disagreements, those are way healthy than what this woman is talking about as far as relationships, because your experience of disagreeing with each other on a certain situation helps for the relationship to grow. So you have arguments that are healthy. You have arguments that basically will come up, hopefully, with an ideal to resolve those disputes, you see. And so a lot of time we get so much inundated with the wrong information from people that they basically just don't know what the hell they're talking about. Okay, Black love has to be separated from all other relationships throughout this world, because our relationships are unique based upon our history as a people. You know, slavery and discrimination is our history, and we can't hide from that. Okay, If you look at the fact of how we was treated in the system of how our ancestors was bought in over here on these slave ships, and they were in cargo boxes, and how their skin stuck through with this in against the wood as we were piled up all in the cargo boxes. That feelings, those effects, those experiences still operates in the bodies of ourselves and our kids to this day. White people have not gotten that same experience. Asian people not having that same experience. Other people besides the Native Americans not really having that experience because they were mostly killed off and not really, you know, they were basically some of them. But here's the thing. That experience of slavery and discrimination alone is the issue here. It's not enough for you to wear name brand clothing. It's not enough for you to go out there to lose the nice tennis shoes because you're trying to hide your self-hatred. Those things is what embodies a hate-love relationship as such. And in fact, that basically is going to be what's destroyed the relationship from the outstart. Let's get real deep into it and history and culture. Let's look in a sense of what we talked there about in psychology. And I think the issue here is what Sigmund Freud calls all love relationship contains ambivalent feelings. Among Freud's various discoveries was that ambivalence involved in all close and intimate relationships. While we may consciously feel genuine and realistic loving towards a spouse, partner, parent, or child, things are never exactly what they seem. And the world of the unconscious beneath even the most loving and caring involvement are feelings, fantasies, and ideas that are negative, hateful, and destructive. Freud recognized that this mixture of love and hate in close relationships is a part of human nature and not necessarily pathological. It's not necessarily pathological. You see? In other words, Freud is describing that just as you can love a person in a relationship, you can also have a what? A hatred for a person. Okay? You can also have a hate love for a person. You can have a history of people saying all these bad things about you. And yet that then means that, okay, well, you know, since I know that this chick is a hood rat or she's sleeping around with a lot of people or this dude, he's sleeping around with all these women and basically, you know, he's giving them this disease and that disease. In other words, the type of history that people know about you can also produce a hatred and a love relationship that could also be towards you as hateful and resentful. Okay, so Freud teaches us that you can basically like a person, but how is that love relationship, as he described in psychology, is it helping you? Are you in this relationship because you love a person because they are good in bed? Or is you in relationship with this person because they basically can get you to grow and think, okay? In other words, Amos tells us also about the situation of why so many of us want to get rid of friends. If that friend is telling us, man, you need to stop smoking, or you need to stop drinking, or you need to stop, you know, doing this or partying and having sex with all these people, 9 times out of 10, as he described, is that that's the people who are our real friends that we really want to get away from because they're speaking truth to us. they're basically letting us know the what responsibility is necessary. So we get away from those types of people. In fact, we actually don't even want to grow with those types of people. We don't want those people giving and putting in their two cents about our love relationship. And so those are the people, of course, who we get rid of. Excuse me, let me fix this fault. Oh, I'm sorry. Those are the people who we first will get rid of in our friendships, in our relationships, because they're teaching us what is negative about this relationship or what is negative about what we're doing in this particular situation. We talked there, of course, also about people deciding that now that they have been into relationship with black love, you see, this society has to teach us to do the wrong thing. It has to keep us out of our mind and hear the wrong definition about being black so that we can hate each other. You know, that family that, like I said earlier, that walks down the street with a, you know, the husband and the wife and the black child and the dog, the family dog, like I told you, that family is a threat to white supremacy because that family is going to be more focusing on how to build and how to grow. Okay, whereas you got some single parents who are basically thinking about trying to send their kids to school, you know, probably from one neighborhood to the next, and then are working two jobs where they're not able to go to a parents-teacher conference, you see. That's the reason why a two-family love relationship and marriage is way dangerous in the black community, and that's the reason why this system worked to keep us divided, giving us wrong information about the roles that we should play in our love relationships. Men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. You get a lot of issues as far as nobody knowing their roles. And then every now and time again, you think that the only way to basically, you know, control your woman is to slap her around and as such. And so now it becomes now domestic dispute, domestic violence, and then you run into the white folks, and they're the ones who created your problems in the first place, you see. The love relationships is basically when we are taken outside of ourselves, when we basically been replaced and basically are out of our mind. We then decided that, oh, man, that black man or that black woman, you know, I can't deal with them. I'm going to try interracial dating, okay? I can't deal with it. So here, let me go out there and let me just go and date somebody outside my race. You know, the grass is greener on the other side. There's this TV show called Love is Blind, okay? And one of the first episodes is Lauren, is this black woman by the name of Lauren Speed. She married this white man after the show named Cameron Hamilton. Okay. And she basically written or she was expressing that she came outside. She said that her and her husband came outside of themselves as such. In other words, what we're going to do is, because we're going to come outside of ourselves to try to make this work in a sense. But as we look more over to interracial relationship, Dr. Umar Johnson was not wrong when he says that interracial relationships is not based up on love necessarily, because the person who was getting with that black person is going to often try to figure out what is in it for them. In other words, interracial relationships is more about interests. And as he described, you've never ever seen a rich white woman with a broke black man. You've never seen that. Okay? So the ideal that it's about love is a lie. It's fraudulent. You only have black men who come up with that crazy excuse that I am interracially dating because we love each other, okay? And the ideal, of course, is that it's just expressed, it's a special interest here, that basically she has to get something out of this. Okay, Daniel Cameron, you look at the Kentucky Attorney General dating his wife. What is the woman getting out of? He is the top cop of that state right now. Okay, he's making all kinds of money. He's in with the good old boys. And so having that particular job and having that power means that instead of then basically putting a ring on a black female's hand or finger, means that, no, nigga, you got too much power. You are at least going to be able to get with a white woman, okay? Depending up on, though, how long you stay in that position, okay? We look both at how basketball stars and how other black men who interracially date, and we also looked at how black women interracially date as well. I just gave you one as far as Lauren Speed and Cameron Hamilton. But also Stacey Dash, who was on her fourth husband, Emmanuel Exuri, or however you say his name, being her fourth husband, and how there was issues of domestic battery and things of that nature. Why? Because we are thinking as black folks that the grass is greener on the other side without going and back into our love relationships and say, wait a minute, we're caught up into fantasies, okay? Black men are in bondage in this society, so we cannot give our women the same thing that the white man can give his women as such, okay? And so that's the reason why sometimes a lot of our women do not look at us as being leaders as such, because, hell, she can get a job quicker than we can in this society, okay? But then you have Europeans who say, well, you know, you all are playing the blame game, and you're doing this and you're doing that. But if you look at the reality at the after slavery, where we was not able to get our money and all of our tangibles that we're fighting for now, you will see basically the reason then why we are now on cold and that we want our money. Because we want to be able to do nice things for our women, and we want to be able to have responsibility. But when we are up against people who are saying, oh, you all do not want to be men, and then they make sure that you're not a man, by denying you your resources. I often taught you that white people are not racist because they're calling you a name. They're racist because they're denying you resources that black people who were born in this country are entitled to. That's the difference. It's not about knocking down monuments. You can keep General Robert E. Lee in your outside your Capitol buildings. You can, if that's who is your role model, that's who you marvel, fine, okay? But stop denying me my tangibles and my reparations, and then when I ask for the resources, you deny me so that I cannot take care of my family. And that's exactly what this society don't want to confront. And that's the reason why you see black marriages are falling, because of the lack of the black man having his resources in order to compete in society. We will also look at the ideal that because certain types of young black men and is going to jail, you see now that sometimes our women have to basically wait until their mate get released from jail. You had basketball superstar Maya Moore from the Women's Basketball League. She helped a black man get out of jail, out of prison for a crime he did not commit, and later basically got married and is about and raising a family now. You see, our women have to basically find their husband sometime in prison, okay? White families don't have to really necessarily deal with that kind of issue, okay? But we looked at interracial relationships and marriages, and we find that there's high divorce in interracial love relationships as well. You understand? A lot of the divorces, remember Paula Patton when she divorced Robin Thicke, you know, back in 2015? Jacob Fischel, whatever, however you say his name. He got divorced from his black wife. Okay. You look at Tiger Woods, I think he had some issues there. Stacey Dash. Then you have Garcelle Bravas, what's her name? She basically, same place, same thing. So love relationships are not based upon the ideal of committing to something that is about sinful things, okay? You got to understand that. You got to understand that we basically does not commit to that issue of just sinful. It can be all kinds of things as such of bringing love. Let's talk there about the ideal of this particular TV series. Now, I think Netflix is trying to get us to believe that love relationships, you can basically come out of your way and then agree to get into an interracial relationship and thinking that that's the second option that you got in a love relationship ability. No, it's more deeper than that. You got to understand that love relationship with another culture is very different fundamentally with black people who was actually dealing with issues as such. The ideal here that you got love relationship into this particular issue, I think Amos Wilson, when he goes back and he talks about it's not enough to just love. He also goes in and talk about, like I said earlier, one of the reasons that so many marriages are falling apart today, even on their wedding day, they say that they're getting married because they say they love each other. Okay? But like I said earlier, and like he said responsibly, that because we're loving each other for the wrong reasons. Let's look at also the ideal. And like you said, it is not enough for you to have feelings of love, to be caught up into cuteness, okay, as such. I want to also talk now about how Millie Fuller tells us and teaches us that relationships and marriages are often a fraudulent situation, where he defines and he decides to tell us that relationships are not really an undertaking into which has any real value. Because, see, it used to be a time where, people who were in relationships, you know, the local sheriff and the local police knew that you were in those love relationships. It was basically something that you knew about the person because the person grew up in your neighborhood and in your community. Your mayors in the 1930s and 20s and 30s as such, you went to high school with. Your city councilwoman, you went to high school with. The person who basically was, who would be your coach or your principal, you grew up with them, okay? And so you knew about them because you were raised with them. You were raised in the same community as such. Now you have the issue where, of course, as we pointed out in earlier commentary, where you have now recruitment from police officers coming from other countries. We heard about the gang unit in Los Angeles as such. People who basically is coming into a community that they're not from to police. And that right there is dangerous because this community now is disrespecting the police because they don't know the people who are in those, who are policing them, who comes from outside neighborhoods and outside the nation, you see. So now we have an issue here that the community now have a lot of negativity, you have a lot of issues, you have a lot of problems, and therefore you now begin to get the wrong definition and wrong information about love, And then that caused all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues in the black community as such. Okay? And so therefore, note that if we had the true definition of love, that we basically will be able to do everything that we can in order to then deal with the true values of how black love is supposed to be represented in the black community so that we can grow and build as such. All right, so let's go to the phone lines. Area code 305, you're live with Lawyer Henderson.
And hey, what's your name? This is Deity.
Hey,
what's up? This is Deity. Great. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, speak up a little bit so I can get you recorded here.
Yeah, so what aspect, yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Okay. So what aspect of the black relationship are you speaking on? Damn, I'm pressing
okay.
buttons. Okay. Can
you
hear me now?
You said what now? No, yeah, go ahead.
So what aspect of black relationships are you speaking on today as far as how it correlates with white supremacy or because I don't want to go off topic.
Exactly. That's what I'm speaking of. Under global white supremacy and as our brother Nellie Ford taught us, is that and their view is that the black man cannot really be a husband or a man within a society that is oppressing him. That we cannot basically give our women the same things that the European give their women as such because of those financial and economic gain that he has over the black man. Okay. And so therefore when we are denied our reparations and our tangibles and our resources, that means that we basically do not have anything in order to basically produce and show our women that we can be providers and protectors. What say you about this conversation?
Yes. So, I always say that a black man is not a man in the system that another man created, especially, particularly, one, another man created, and then another man who oppresses you, and then another man who forces you to oppress people like you, which further oppresses you. Like, so, no, a black man is not a man in the system of white supremacy, and therefore his relationship with his woman or the woman that he chooses to deal with can only be a relationship of sex and breeding. And when I say breeding, I mean that in the sense of almost like an animal. You're breeding another slave. You're just breeding a slave without the slave master up close and personal in your house, but the slave master is still in your house. It's just you can't see his face in the physical sense. But you see his face on that dollar bill. You see his face on the light bill statements and papers and on your cell phone bill and all that. So the white man is over the black man in the system of white supremacy. And to make matters worse, because the black man is over the white man is over the black man, he's not only over the black man, but he's over the black woman. And because he's over both of them, he has the opportunity to pick and choose like an animal who he wants to give whatever opportunities to. So in the sense, the black woman is more masculine than the black man because the white man is giving the black woman the tools to be able to survive better than the black man in the system of white supremacy. Not to say that either of that is good. I'm just saying that when you can't create a system for your children and your woman where you can call a shot, if you can't protect your woman and your children from the police, you got to sit there and hope that these crackers don't kill you or these people don't fire you. Or, you know, if you can't protect yourself, if you can't provide for yourself, you are not a man. And so all black relationships, for the most part, are built off of white supremacy. And what I mean by that is that there is no relationship between a black man and a black woman in most cases, that's built solely and particularly off of love, because that is somewhat of a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to pick and choose who you want to date specifically off of just loving them. Even if it comes down to lust and what you find attractive, most black men, not all, but a good majority of black men have a white supremacist mindset. So the women that they prefer don't look like, most of the time, the women who are either in their family or the women who they are with. And black women, oftentimes got to settle sometimes out of financial need and so forth and so forth. So a lot of relationships between black people is struggle-based. People come together for trying to survive. And so,
right.
Again, when you don't own the system, when you or the women that you deal with don't own the system that you are trying to use and utilize to survive or to have fun or whatever you want to consider it to be, to take these trips and all of this stuff, if you have to use the white man's money to view what's natural to this earth, to use what's natural to this earth, then there is no such thing as a black relationship. It's just two slaves getting together, breeding another slave to work for the white man.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I wanted to also further to add on to that is that in a system of oppression, white supremacy, we basically see that our relationships, if you look at all of the things that our relationship has, it has to deal with economics, it has to deal with politics, our social relationships of how we basically relate to one to the other, and basically no real power. So just like you said, he can choose a black woman over a black man because we basically are looking at him for jobs. So what I was saying as I was coming on is that basically because we was denied our resources, we'll be able to do the same thing had we had our ability even to have our own country, our own nation, or whatever, or whatever system that we want to set up. So in a system of oppression, white supremacy, basically we do not have relationships. It's not really a black relationship. We have black love as far as you kissing on a black man or kissing on a black woman, but those relationships are not a relationship of power and influence because of that particular issue. And I think it's great how you unpack the system of white supremacy. But it's going to be like that as such because of that issue. But do you want to talk about any relationship experiences or as far as how anything, your thoughts of anything about black love and black relationships that you think that I may have left out?
Yeah, so I do believe that black love exists. However, though, I think that the concept of black love is extremely watered down as far as, you know, people talking about it on Facebook and people now trying to embrace it. That's watered down, you know. The reality is that most black people don't love black love or have black love because most black people don't even like what they see when they look in the mirror that reflects off anything so-called black on them. You know, you have certain people struggling with issues regarding their complexion. You have people struggling with issues regarding their hair texture. You have certain people struggling with issues regarding the size of their nose, the size of their lips. You know, the only time that some of these people even embrace certain things that are considered black is when a white girl goes ahead and takes it or steals it, or a white boy goes ahead and takes it and steals it. And that's the only time that these people want to embrace blackness, but they don't really embrace it on themselves. And that's not in all cases, but that's in a good majority of cases. And, I mean, look at the situation that we're in as black people. So I'm not saying that these people – I'm not trying to knock anybody, but I'm just speaking the truth. So when we talk about black love is, it's a good thing that people are trying to find it, but why is it that black love is only expressed amongst black people when a black person gets killed and these white folks want to plaster it on social media? Why is it that black love only gets expressed when a white person calls you a nigger or say they don't want you in your area? If black love, if people really love being black people wouldn't be trying to integrate. So when we talk about black love, it's just not as real as social media tries to perpetuate it in real life. Once you get outside of the social media world, you got black people that look at another black person, you know, you say hi to a motherfucker, and they looking at you like you crazy. But, so that black love ideology or that idiom is not really real. You have a lot of black people that just, like I said, it's not love. A lot of the times it's lust. Black people have had to utilize whatever endorphin that they can to get them high for the moment, because most black people have hard lives. I mean, going to work every day on these people's jobs and not knowing if you're going to get fired and having to kiss ass and having to watch your back. I mean, you smoke, you get high, you drink, you have sex. That's not love when you looking for it to another black person for a lustful reason. That's you trying to, you know, clear your mind. You know what I mean? So unfortunately, because we live in we're captives in this, in the, well, not we, but because black people are captives in this system, anything that makes us feel good and that's good for us at the same time is not, that's not, it's a privilege to be able to have that. And in order to have that, you have to know who you are and you have to understand that the system is not for you. But anytime you are doing something that makes you feel good within the system of white supremacy is not good for you. So a lot of relationships that black people have is based on lust, is based on finances, is not based on I genuinely love this black king because I'm a black queen. And I say the king-queen thing just loosely. I'm just giving you an example because I don't even like for a person to call me queen because I feel like it's bogus as fuck. But most black people don't have that, damn, this is a beautiful black queen. This is a beautiful black king. Oh, we finna make some beautiful black babies, and we finna be, oh, most black people, that's not the thought that black people have when they go into union with each other. That's not the thought. Right. That's a privilege. So, yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the interracial relationship thing. Because I know that we have a lot of, like I said, a lot of black men who date outside their race, and then you have some black women who do as well, and that is self-hatred. But what else? What, do you think that the grass is green on the other side? And tell us why the grass is not green on the other side.
Well, the grass could be greener on the other side. Very well, very much so. I mean, it just depends on the experience. A black person dating a white person could definitely have a better experience in certain circumstances if you're looking to, you know, move around to a certain extent comfortably within the system of white supremacy, because the system is built for the white spouse that you're dealing with. And so, therefore, if you're navigating behind that person and they kind of, like, block all the blows that's coming at you, then, yes, in that sense, it could be an easier road than if you were dealing with another black person, if you are trying to navigate within the system of white supremacy, if you feel the need to be up under white folks. I mean, but in the at the same time, of course, you're going to have to strip yourself of your blackness. But, again, that's if you want to be up under white people. So if a black person wants to be within the system of white supremacy, move around the system of white supremacy comfortably, they may be able to do that a bit more comfortable with a white person or a non-black person than they would with a black person. But the downside to that is that, again, you have to strip yourself of your blackness. That person is now your master to a degree. Because they'll always have control over the situation. A black man has to watch his back a lot more with a white woman or a non-black woman, because that person has the entire system on their side, on her side. Mm. And the same thing with the black woman dating a white man or a non-black man, the system is going to always be on their side. So if they decided to wake up and just call the police on you for whatever reason, you could be dead. Whereas if it was another black person that you were dealing with and they decided to call the police, you know, there's going to be a conversation that's being had and whatever the case may be, but it won't end with your life being taken just because this person called the police or whatever the case may have been. So I think that it just really depends on what you're trying to look for out of that situation. I don't think that it will ever be comfortable for that black person, regardless of, you know, what the mindset is going into the relationship with the non-black person. A black person dating a non-black person, I don't think those people are ever comfortable. But I do believe that because they don't really see, they've been so brainwashed to believing that it's only black and white, and they don't see a privilege with them being around black people, they will rather choose the downside of being around white people.
All right.
And whatever downsides come with that, with being around white people. They would rather prefer the downsides of dealing with white people than the downsides of dealing with their own people and dealing with being black.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. As I was coming on, we were talking about certain types of couples, and like I was saying, I don't know if you watched this Netflix, Love is Blind, but I was like, oh, my God, you know, that is the wrong concept to talk about, saying that love is blind. I was about to get into why that was the wrong concept before you call, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're right. They can have some experiences when they get into interracial relationship, because there are certain types of things that when you're in a with white people that you may be exposed of or you can do, and basically you may feel like you can do a lot because you're with them, because they're the one that has the power. So yeah, you're right about that, Ian. So for some of us, interracial relationships does work as such, and you know, whereas with a black person, you're basically limited, you know, you're scared, you know, you're walking, you know, like you said, you know, hell, you're almost about to get fired around here. when you're gonna get fired at a job when everybody's quiet and just looking at you weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what else do you want to say, you want to unpack? Do you think basically that, let's say, if the system of white supremacy was replaced with a system of justice, what do you see as far as how that system will run? You think that black men and black women will be able to get along more over, and as what's the,
that's a
as
great
far
question.
As their attitudes?
That's a great question. I'm going to give you an answer that I don't think anybody has ever heard of before, and if they have, they don't hear it on a consistent basis. There is no such thing as a system of justice. There's going to have to be one race over the other. The reason why is because we're different. We're a different humanoid species, and so therefore what it takes for me to survive, it doesn't take for this person to survive. And naturally, even for coons, you're going to gravitate more so towards your own race, because it's a part of survival. It's a genetic survival thing. And so if the black race was at the top, the white race would be at the bottom. And as a matter of fact, the white race would die off, because we're so strong in comparison to them genetically and spiritually that they wouldn't be able to survive under what it is that we have going on. But because we are so strong as a race of people genetically and spiritually, we can survive under their shit because they're weak. It's not a good form of surviving, but we're able to survive and we're able to make it through. Although we make it through with a lot of bullshit, we're still able to make it through because we are stronger than them. We're stronger than what it is that they can put out. Whereas if the tables were turned, they wouldn't be able to survive under us because of how strong we are. They wouldn't be able to adapt to us because of how strong we are. And so there is no such thing as justice. It's just not – nature is not created that way. You can't live in harmony with a different species from yourself. You just can't. Unless you break that species down and force it to live under you. It has to be subjected to you. A dog and a human being cannot live in the house where both of them are on the same level. One is going to be under the subjection of the other. So there would never be a system of justice if you're talking about racially, because it's a genetic thing. And I think that a lot of people, black people in particular, because they've never had any power and they've been forced under subjection of white people, that they don't understand how nature, the law of nature, not the law of the so-called white man, but the law of nature works to where you would have to remove your opponent, or you would have to subdue your opponent. If you don't physically remove them all at one time, you would have to subdue them so that you can be comfortable. That's just the law of nature. And so there is no such thing as justice. There is no such thing as we hold hand and we be equal. It doesn't work that way. That's just not how it's genetically made to be. That's the reason why these white folks are doing all this stuff to block out the sun, and because they die from the sun. They die from anything that, for the most part, that helps and nourish us to grow. You know, they're trying to play God because the real God is killing them off. You know, they have to create chemicals in order to keep lice and ticks from, you know, eating up their scalp. They have to create, like I said, this mass over the sun so that it doesn't burn them, you know. And that's the reason why you do have white people that are now able to live in Africa and able to live in Israel, because at one point the sun was just beaming and there were no chemicals that were putting mass in the sky over the sun that was blocking out the sun, making it easier for these people to move around and to navigate. So they have utilized, again, the system to where it makes them comfortable, but it's killing us off. And so if we were in power, it would kill them off and it would make us comfortable. Even if black people wanted white people to be comfortable, it wouldn't be, because you've got a lot of slave-minded black people, it wouldn't be the case because, again, we're different. What it takes for us to survive, it would kill them.
Hmm.
Like I said, like being in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we basically is a powerful people, but we don't know about our powerful, our might and our will and our strong, you know, ability.
Right.
And things. We just basically just try to compromise, trying to integrate, trying to be like them. It's just, come on, man.
And the reason why, lawyer, and we, me and you, we, and every, and a couple of other people out there, we know the truth. I mean, when you've been subjected up under these people's rulership, again, it's with your enemy. I mean, the 48 laws of power. If I can't kill you and defeat you in that way, I have to conquer you. And so when they conquer our minds, it's no longer them having to do so much of the physical work. It's just like, with the dog, if you have a dog on a chain for so many years, and when that dog is a puppy, right?
Right,
when it gets off the chain, it goes and it runs away, and it runs away. But as time grows and time goes, that dog knows that if it keeps running away and it has nowhere else to go to get food and it has to come back, if it comes back to you, you're going to beat its ass. As time progresses and that dog becomes an old dog, that dog is not going to run anymore. Even if you have the chain removed from its neck, it's going to stay put because, one, it understands that it has to get food from this owner, and then, two, it understands that it might face an ass whooping because it needs food so it can't go anywhere else. And that's pretty much what black people are. We're trained animals. Like, essentially, we're in a zoo. We're in the white man's zoo, and we're walking around like big, roaring lions that are subdued and brainwashed. It's almost like these white folks have injected us with some type of chemical to keep us from beating a motherfucking ass, or from taking over, or, you know, from using our melanin and from using our power. They have literally infected us and injected us, and we're moving around dressing like them, walking like them, talking like them, and they're looking back at us. Like, because they haven't, you have to keep in mind, they have not been oppressed. So these people's, the veil is not over their eyes. They're not looking at us like we're looking at them. And when I say us, I'm not talking about me in particular, but because I am of the so-called black race, I'm going to say us just to keep it simple. So they're not looking at us like we're looking at them. They have no veil. They have not been oppressed by us. They have not been oppressed in this system. We have. So when black people see white people, we see people. They see just the opposite. They see their enemy.
only got about 25 seconds on our air, so what I want to do is I'm going to hold you over because I'm still on the YouTube Live, okay? So just hold on for a little bit, okay? All right, ladies and gentlemen, of my podcast, we're going to wrap up the podcast. We're going to keep on with Deity on the Line. We're going to roll this over to the YouTube podcast if we can, and we'll go from there. Are you still online?
I'm here.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, they don't see us the way that we see them. So everything that we see with them is the opposite with us. So we see them mm-hmm. as people that we can be friends with. They don't see it. They see us as individuals that they can usurp from and then kill off. They're looking at a way to try to get rid of us or to take from us. That's all it is, and that's how it's supposed to be, because it's nature. We're not meant to. They're afraid of you because they know the power that you possess. They know what it is that you're supposed to do, but when they sit back and they see how friendly you are to them, they looking like, wow, this motherfucker is really conquered. Like, you're really broken. And so pretty much that's what they see when they see us, and that's the reason why I don't really talk about all this race stuff to so-called black people like that anymore, because most black people are just brain dead. Like, they're colonized, they're gone, they're injected with whatever government cheese chemical that these white folks, whatever flu shot medicine, whatever, you know, these white folks done injected them with, they done literally just got them zombied out.
Wow. All right. And, okay, well, I mean, I agree 100%. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching, we're going to have this on our Blog Talk Radio program. We also, this YouTube, as we wrap it up, it will be there. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel, and let's talk black. Talk black to me. Well, all right, sweetheart, we're going to wrap it up here, basically, because I got a lot of other stuff to do, but I'm glad that you called in. Like I said, you know, I know that I did this commentary before, but we didn't have YouTube then, so now we have it. So if you want to call back, if you want this conversation again, just let me know, and we'll get back at it again.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, love. Bye.
Bye.